ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाया। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाया। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाया। Today, we will be speaking on Srila Prabhupada because today is the disappearance day, the Tirabhav Mahotsav of Srila Prabhupada. So today's class will be focused on Srila Prabhupada and we will not be doing Bhagavatam verse. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Soyam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadandigam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunadhanitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpade Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Today we will try to discuss some words of glorification to Srila Prabhupada on this most auspicious Tirobhav Mahotsav of ISKCON founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada. First, let's try to see what is the importance of Tirobhav or the disappearance of the Lord or his pure devotees. If a non-devotee leaves this world, there is nothing significant about this. Whatever he has achieved, whatever glory he had, he is going to leave behind everything and going to the next body. And it is quite unknown which body he or she is going to take. Maybe a human body, maybe a lower species. So there is no guarantee about the future. So a wealthy man, a popular man, can live in this world, but death rips apart everything, takes away everything, and one is left with nothing. So this is material death of any materialistic person. So Krishna says, Krishna in the form of time comes in front of a non-devotee and takes away everything as death. However, when it comes to the Lord or his pure devotees, it is completely different. The disappearance in itself is very glorious. For example, we can see the disappearance pastimes of the Lords in different incarnations. So we call it as disappearance. We don't call it as death because they don't have a mortal body as we do. So they appear and they disappear. So it is avirbhav and tirobhav. So they just come in front of our eyes as manifestation. And after some time, they disappear according to their own sweet will. So Krishna's disappearance pastime is very famous. That is Maushala Leela. We know how the members of the Yadu dynasty, they fought amongst themselves and they killed each other. And afterwards, the Lord himself decided to depart from this world. So he sat underneath a banyan tree. And Uddhava was there, Satyaki was there. Only his intimate associates were there next to the Supreme Lord. And as we know, he was shot by the arrow of Jara. Then he just disappeared from the world. He imparted his final teachings to Uddhava. And then he just left. So he left in his spiritual body. And just to trick the materialistic people, he just left behind a body which looked like his body. It is not his body. So that is just to convince the atheists that he is just an ordinary person. But otherwise, his disappearance is miraculous. Same thing we can see about Lord Ramachandra. He simply wound his pastime by entering into Sarayu River. He just went inside the Sarayu River and then he disappeared. So no one has seen Lord Ramachandra after that. And think about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There was a big Sankirtan in Tota Gopinath temple in Jagannath Puri. And a huge, massive Kirtan was going on. And everyone was chanting and dancing in ecstasy. And Mahaprabhu just went inside the altar of Tota Gopinath Mandir. And he just closed the altar. And after that, no one has seen Mahaprabhu. So, miraculous disappearance from the material realm. Similarly, we can see the disappearances of great devotees of the Lord also. In Lakhu Bhagavatamrita, Srila Rupa Goswami establishes the supreme position of Krishna in comparison to all different incarnations and expansions of the Supreme Lord. So he gives so many references from Shastra, from Puranas, from Upanishads, and he establishes the supreme position of Krishna. And he dedicates most of his book, Lakhu Bhagavatamrita, to establish the supremacy of the Lord. However, he leaves about 50 pages or so in the book in glorification of the devotees of the Lord. So, first part is Bhagavatamrita and the second part is Bhaktamrita. Because the Lord himself says, it is insufficient to glorify the Lord and leave behind the glories of the devotees. If the worship of the Lord has to be complete, then it is mandatory that we do worship his devotees. So, the second part is dedicated to the Bhaktas, the devotees, and establishes who are the great devotees of the Lord in a hierarchic format. So this is Lakhu Bhagavatamrita. Similarly, when we try to understand the disappearance pastimes of the Lord's various incarnations, we also see the disappearance pastimes of Krishna's devotees. And many of them are superhuman. It is miraculous. For example, in the case of Ramanujacharya, he was in his old age and his close associates, they understood, and he himself told his close associates that he is going to leave the world. So his close associates like Dasharathi, Govinda, they appeared near Ramanujacharya and told, our body is temporary. But your body is not temporary. It is spiritual because it is only used in service of Krishna. And now we can feel that you are going to disappear from this world because you have completely established your mission and you have propagated your teachings. So we cannot live without you. So we need your constant association. Hearing this, Ramanujacharya asked an expert sculptor to come. And he said, you can carve my deity. So the sculptor carved the exact deity of Ramanujacharya. And Ramanujacharya told that this deity is self-same as myself. So whenever I am present, the same presence you can experience from the deity of Ramanujacharya. After that, Ramanujacharya, he lied down, head at the lap of one of his disciples and the feet at the lap of another disciple, and he just left the world. So in one sense, it was quite miraculous. He was not going through the usual pain that any human being would go through, but miraculously he disappeared from the world. Similarly, Madhvacharya, having established his mission, having written sufficient commentaries to different Vedic literatures, he also decided to disappear from this world. So he was giving a talk, a discourse on Aitreya Upanishad, which was his favorite Upanishad. So as he was giving a discourse on Aitreya Upanishad, he sat on a raised platform and he was glorifying a particular mantra in the Aitreya Upanishad. As he was glorifying Lord Krishna, he went into ecstasy. After that, no one has seen Madhvacharya. His cloth was left behind, and the garland he was wearing while he was giving the discourse was left behind, and no one saw him afterwards. It was said that there was a pushpavrishti, there was a shower of flowers to the raised platform where he was sitting and delivering the talk. So this was the disappearance of Madhvacharya. It was miraculous. Similarly, if you see Narottam Das Thakur, he asked his disciples to take to Ganges and give him an abhishek. As his prominent disciples were doing an abhishek, bathing for Narottam Das Thakur, his body melted and became the waters of Ganges. Padmaruva. So this is miraculous, if you think about it. However, when it comes to Srila Prabhupada, his departure was normal to mundane vision. He didn't do anything miraculous. He didn't perform any show as he was passing away from this world. However, when we see from the spiritual vision, we can see it was a miracle. So it is said, it is very important to understand the final pastime of Srila Prabhupada, because he had dedicated his life in preaching the glories of the Lord. So we have to understand the significance of the final pastime of Srila Prabhupada. Why is it so significant? On one point of view, we can see that Mahaprabhu is glorified as the most magnanimous, munificent incarnation who gave the highest of the teachings to the most fallen people. Anarpita charin chirat karunaya avatirna kalav. For a long time, means for many, many yuga cycles, no one had imparted the highest rasa to the conditioned beings. That is the madhuri ras, ujjula ras, to the conditioned beings who are the residents of the material world. Even in Satyuga, even in previous Yuga cycles, no one has given the highest bhakti following in the footsteps of residents of Vrindavan to anyone. But Mahaprabhu bestowed that devotion to the people of the age of Kali. So Mahaprabhu is glorified for his compassion. Karunaya avatirna kalav. Because out of compassion only he appeared in the material world. Now, seeing in perspective, who actually gave that mercy to the whole world? That is none other than Srila Prabhupada. So in one sense, we may think Srila Prabhupada should perform some magical feats. He should perform some miracles because he is the most empowered servant of Krishna to deliver the most fallen people in the most fallen times. However, he didn't choose to perform such miraculous pastimes. Second, we can see He had so many initiated followers. He had so many initiated disciples. He had written so many books. He had established already 108 temples. He had written 60 volumes of books. He had written 6,586 letters between 1947 and 77. Can you imagine? In about, 30 years, and most of the letters in the last 12 years, 6,586 letters. Then he had a recorded lecture, 2,901. 2,901 recorded lectures. And apart from that, he had room conversations and morning walk conversations. So how much teachings he left behind for his followers. So no one can imagine. Na bhuto na bhavishyati. During the appearance day past time, we discussed how this verse came about. Na bhuto na bhavishyati. Another acharya from another sampradaya who got the mercy of Srila Prabhupada when he was a child. He wrote this verse. Na bhuto na bhavishyati. Never such a thing happened in the past, nor will it happen in the future. So this is the glory of Srila Prabhupada. Now, Srila Prabhupada is going to leave the world. So it is very significant. The questions are, who is going to continue the succession? Who is going to manage the society? Who is going to develop it? So in that way, we can see it is a critical moment in the history of ISKCON. And it's a critical moment for the whole world because the next 10,000 years deliverance is dependent on the teachings of Srila Prabhupada. So this is a very important, a very significant point, the departure of Srila Prabhupada. So at this point, we need to understand that an acharya is always teachings. Is always teaching. Sometimes he uses words. But through his actions, basically, mind, with his mind, words and deeds, an acharya is always teaching. So Srila Prabhupada was always teaching, and now he is going to teach his disciples and followers and the future generation how to leave this world. So Krishna consciousness is not just about the art of living, but most importantly, it is art of leaving. So Srila Prabhupada taught that as his final pastime, as his final instruction. Lilamrita, we can see many devotees compared Srila Prabhupada's disappearance to that of Bhishma Dev's. Right? Bhishma Dev, he had Swachanda Mrityu. Swachanda Mrityu means according to his own will, he can leave from this world. Similarly, Bhishma Dev was lying on the bed of arrows. Bed of arrows, can you imagine bed of arrows? If there is a small pin, it is going to prick our body. We cannot tolerate, we cry. Just one small pin which is going to pierce into our body is going to give such an immense pain. And think about a bed of arrows on which Bhishma Dev is lying. And he can depart the world whenever he wants. However, he did two important things. Point number one, he instructed the whole world on dharma through Yudhishthira Maharaj. He just didn't mention, he explained all the varna, ashrama, dharma, duties, everything, but he also explained the glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the one who actually recited the thousand names of Vishnu. It's a conversation on the bed of arrows. So he acted completely oblivious to his physical condition. He acted completely in connection to the Supreme Lord and being completely detached from the material body. So he taught while he was on the bed of arrows. Second, he waited for one most important person to appear in front of him. That is the Supreme Lord Krishna. He waited till then. So we can see the example of Bhishma Dev. In the same way, Srila Prabhupada acted completely detached from the material body. So we will try to see the consciousness of Srila Prabhupada. Few times devotees asked Srila Prabhupada. One time, after Srila Prabhupada was taken to Hrishikesh, thinking that his body is going to get recovered by being present near the waters of Ganges, still his health got worsened because of the climatic changes. Then he had to come back through Delhi. Then devotees asked Srila Prabhupada, "So now you should take some medicine." What was the answer of Srila Prabhupada? In the same way, devotees did ask in Vrindavan also in the final few months, "Now you had to take some medicine." Srila Prabhupada said, "I am already taking the medicine." And what is the name of the medicine? He said, "It is an Ayurvedic medicine. The name of the medicine is Yogendra Ras." What is that? Yogendra Ras. Yogendra is Krishna. Ras. Krishna Ras. Ras means the juice, the essence, the nectar of Krishna. So Prabhupada said few times that the medicine that he is taking is Yogendra Ras. And he said the only medicine is Kirtan and Bhagavatam. This was the mood of Srila Prabhupada. He was teaching the example. The only medicine is Kirtan and Srimad Bhagavatam. He was demonstrating by his live example. He said that I have stopped mating and defending long back. Now I am praying that I can stop eating and sleeping. And he did stop that. I want to stop eating and sleeping. Why? He is only taking one medicine, that is Yogendra Ras. Only thinking of Krishna. So this is the consciousness of Srila Prabhupada, an advanced devotee. He said, "Body, I don't care about the body. I have nothing to do with the body." He told many times, not one, many times, "I have nothing to do with the body." In fact, he asked all the GBC men to come in Vrindavan. Part of the deal was to prepare the final will. But at the same time, he said, "The real service that I want from my GBC men is that they should chant for me. They should do kirtan for me." Can you see the consciousness of Prabhupada? They should chant for me. They should do kirtan for me. So the Prabhupada was completely fixed in Krishna. As Tamal Krishna Maharaj asked Srila Prabhupada, "Why don't you take some medicine or drink something? At least drink something." Srila Prabhupada said, "Let me drink Harinam Amiya Vilas." Harinam Amiya Vilas. We know the song, right? The bhajan. Bhaktivinoda Thakur. That Amala Harinam Amiya Vilasa. He said, "I just want to drink the sweetest nectar of Harinam." Prabhupada said, even though he couldn't speak so much, he made the point. The real nectar, the real medicine, the real drink is nothing but Harinam. And we, if you read through the final section of Srila Prabhupada's pastimes in Lilamrita, this verse repeatedly comes. Krishna todiya padapangaja panjaranta adyeva me vishayetu manasaraja hamsa prana prayana same kapapada pitta kanthavarathana yuto smaranam kutaste. This is a verse spoken by, written by King Kulasekara in Mukunda Mala Stotra. He's telling, when my consciousness or when my body is completely deteriorated, how is it possible for me to think about Krishna? Rather, now I am fit and stout. Now my mind takes shelter of Krishna. Just like a hamsa, a swan, takes shelter of a lotus flower, the stem of the lotus flower. So the stem of the lotus flower is compared to Krishna's lotus feet, and the mind is compared to a swan. So Prabhupada repeated many times, even when Prabhupada, after going to London and coming back, after once entering Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada said, "Krishna tadiye padabangaja." Let me leave the world. Prabhupada was completely determined to go away from the material realm. So this is Srila Prabhupada's consciousness. So we see this, such an exalted consciousness completely fixed on Krishna. But at the same time, we can see that Srila Prabhupada was encouraged by preaching efforts and he was encouraging preaching at the same time. Can you understand? Srila Prabhupada was completely fixed. He was practically not eating, sleeping, nothing. At the same time, he was completely encouraged by all the preaching efforts. So when his prominent disciples came to Vrindavan, he was asking everyone, what is the preaching status? He asked Bhavananda Prabhu, Jayavataka Maharaj, what's happening with Mayapur? So Prabhupada was asking, is everything going okay? When the new building will be constructed? So they said all the plans are ready. Now construction is going to start soon. In 6 months it's going to finish. So Prabhupada was hearing all the preaching reports. Kirtananda Maharaj came. So Prabhupada asked about New Vrindavan. And Kirtananda Maharaj showed the latest photographs of New Vrindavan, Palace of Gold, Srila Prabhupada's palace. And Prabhupada was very much pleased. Prabhupada was told that my dream is going to come true. And Kirtananda Maharaj said, already many visitors are coming and they are being completely marveled by the structure, Prabhupada's palace. So Prabhupada was getting joy from this preaching efforts. And he talked to Rameshwar Prabhu, who was in charge of BBT and publication of so many books. So he heard that how many thousands of books are being distributed in America, and Prabhupada was very happy, very pleased with that. He also spoke to Swarup Damodar Maharaj, Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj. He was in charge of Bhakti Vedanta Institute. So he showed the latest pamphlets which proves the existence of God and the supremacy of Krishna based on science. And Prabhupada was very much pleased with their efforts. So this is Prabhupada. Prabhupada, even though his consciousness was completely fixed on Krishna, so Krishna, his consciousness was completely fixed on glorification of Krishna. It is a very interesting, a very touching pastime when Harikesh Prabhu went to see Srila Prabhupada. Because Harikesh Prabhu had recently published books, Krishna book. He had Bhagavatam second canto and Isha Upanishad in different languages. Some in German, Yugoslavia, in different languages. And he said to the servant, I want to meet Srila Prabhupada. So the servant said, no, you cannot meet Srila Prabhupada. Because we are trying to keep a different mood. So he is focusing on Krishna. Now you don't disturb him by showing all these new books. Harikesh Prabhu told, what are you talking about? Book distribution and books are his life and soul. So it is best for me to go and meet him. So Harikesh Prabhu, anyway, he approached Prabhupada and he showed the books. And seeing on the Krishna book, it was a 3-volume Krishna book, seeing the Radha Krishna picture on the Krishna book, Srila Prabhupada, he raised the book in the air and he started crying. And he told Harikesh Prabhu that, what have you done? He said he has printed around 20,000 Krishna books, 3 volumes, and in about same amount of second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and in about 10,000 Sri Isha Upanishad in different languages in Europe. And Prabhupada was so pleased. And Prabhupada said, he said, now you understand, you were serving me as a secretary. You were just typing. He was telling, you were rotting here in front of me. This is what Prabhupada told. You were rotting in front of me just by acting as my secretary. I thought you are an intelligent boy, so you should go and preach. So he said, that time you might have thought that I disregarded you. You know, you just go away. But I had a higher purpose. Then Harikesh Prabhu, I understand. Both of them became very emotional, because this is heart of Srila Prabhupada, books. So Harikesh Prabhu, he left Vrindavan. He left the service of Srila Prabhupada. And he went and he accomplished a wonderful feat by printing so many thousands and thousands of books and organizing distribution of Srila Prabhupada's books. And Prabhupada was very much pleased. So this is Srila Prabhupada. He wanted the glorification of Krishna. So Prabhupada's mind was completely fixed on that. Even when he went to London before his final few months in Vrindavan, he wanted to leave Vrindavan and he wanted to go to London, his final preaching tour. So when he reached London, different devotees came explaining their preaching status. So when Bhagavan Prabhu approached Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada was very pleased because they organized printing thousands and thousands of books in different European languages and organized distribution of them.
French,
German, many other languages. So Prabhu said, and Bhagavan Prabhu told, we have actually even gone beyond America in terms of book distribution. And Prabhu was very pleased with that. We know the pastime, even the Ghanashyam Prabhu, who was Bhaktivedanta Maharaj, he had a very sweet exchange with Bhaktivedanta Maharaj for distributing books in communist countries. So Prabhu encouraged all the devotees, even in the last few months. So one time we can see his consciousness, and on the other side we can see his preaching efforts, even when he was on his deathbed, on his final days. And interestingly, very interesting that Prabhupada had worldly wisdom completely active even to the last minute. Because Prabhupada said few times, not one time, more than one time, Srila Prabhupada said that, I am very much concerned. Can you see there is a conspiracy here going on? There are undercurrents in India. Because the people around us are envious of ISKCON. Because such a big establishment. So they want to influence you, my disciples, and they want to take over the society after my departure. And he was telling, there is an undercurrent and none of you are strong. So I am very much concerned about the movement. Because if I leave just like that, if no one takes care, if no one manages the property properly, then everything will be in vain. All my efforts will be in vain. Srila Prabhupada was very much concerned. He could even see the politics that is going on around him, even when he was in his deathbed. Can you imagine? Usually, one is completely absorbed in Krishna, then at the same time, one cannot see politics. One becomes oblivious to the external affairs. But Srila Prabhupada could see that for a transcendental cause. Because without ISKCON, there is no question of glorification of Krishna in such a massive scale. As we can see now, to the credit of Srila Prabhupada, how many books are being distributed? 516 million books have been distributed so far, till date. And 650 centers are being established till date. 110 restaurants. And 3 billion plates of prasadams have been distributed. 3 billion plates of prasadam. And 100,000 initiated devotees ISKCON have. Can you see? So this is a great achievement. For the credit of Srila Prabhupada, by his care, by his wisdom, to the last minute. So we know the one time, it's a very interesting pastime, Prabhupada was in Vrindavan again, the last few months, that midnight he told his servant, bring Giriraj here. Midnight. Giriraj Maharaj. So the servant went and he woke Giriraj Maharaj, and he told, Prabhupada is calling. So Giriraj Maharaj, he immediately got up, middle of the sleep, he just got up, he ran, and he went to Srila Prabhupada's room, and Srila Prabhupada told Giriraj Maharaj, do you think this movement can go on without me? Do you think this movement can go on without me? Middle of the night, in Vrindavan. Then Giriraj Maharaj was perplexed. What a question. And he was actually crying within. He was almost crying because it is a point, you know, the spiritual master is asking, practically telling, I am going to leave. Then Giriraj Maharaj said, by our sincere efforts and chanting of Hare Krishna and following regulative principles, we will be able to move forward and the movement can become successful. So Srila Prabhupada kept silent for some time. Then he said, he couldn't speak properly. Still he said, organization and intelligence. Is there anything else? ? So he said, organization and intelligence. So this was Prabhu's point in terms of carrying forward the mission. Organization and intelligence. We had to understand these are the final instructions of a great teacher. So Prabhupada was very concerned that if society is not managed properly, it will have such an adverse effect, not just to the society, but to the whole world. That's why he was kept insisting, every hour the bell should ring in Vrindavan temple. So Prabhupada was kept insisting, okay, now the bell didn't ring. And next hour he'll tell, the bell rang, but it was at wrong time. Even at the final phase, he was telling, if you cannot manage ringing of this bell at the right time, how are you going to manage the whole society? So he said, that is my concern. So this is Prabhupada. Even at the last minute, he was making sure that the society is going on properly. And at the same time, Srila Prabhupada had very intimate exchanges with his devotees. So, just like in the pastimes of Madhavendrapuri allowed Isharapuri to do very menial services, including cleaning his body, and whatever he passes, Sri Isharapuri had the opportunity to clean. So it is considered as a greatest mercy upon his disciples. So that's why, since Madhavendrapuri allowed Sri Isharapuri to serve him very intimately and to remind him of Krishna even to the last moment of his life, even the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared as his own disciple. Who was the disciple of Isharapuri? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because he became a perfect disciple of Madhavendrapuri and he got all the mercy of Madhavendrapuri. So even the Supreme Lord agreed to be the disciple of Sri Isharapuri. In the same way, Srila Prabhupada allowed his disciples to serve him. So Bhavananda Prabhu was there, Bhaktacharya Maharaj was there, Loknal Maharaj was there, Upendra Prabhu was there, Tamalkrishna Goswami was there, Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj was there. All of them were present very close to Srila Prabhupada. And it is said, even as a parent, how they would pursue their child in eating, they would pursue Srila Prabhupada. They would, to some degree, instruct their own spiritual master. And Srila Prabhupada said, I want to be advised by you. So Prabhupada came into a position where he was ready to get instructions from his own disciples. Such an intimate exchange took place between Srila Prabhupada and his disciples. Jayapataka Maharaja as well. So it was such an intimate dealings. It is at one point, in fact, it's mentioned that Kirtanada Maharaj said, you know, we are not like Mother Yashoda. We are not on the platform of Mother Yashoda, where Mother Yashoda can push Krishna to eat because of motherly affection. He said, we cannot do that for you. We are trying to, but we cannot do that fully because we had to remember that you are our spiritual master. It is said, Srila Prabhupada used to always translate and give Bhaktivedanta purports in the middle of the night. And he used to do in seclusion. No one used to be around him. He wanted to focus and he used to do all the purports by himself without any distractions. But at this point, even in his deathbed, Srila Prabhupada was giving purports to Srimad Bhagavatam. To the last minute, you can see the video, the final pastimes. Now, we may struggle to read Srila Prabhupada's purport. We may struggle to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. Here, see Srila Prabhupada in the last few months. He didn't eat anything. He was not sleeping. He was doing nothing, but he was preaching. He was just lying down. You can see that video. Srila Prabhupada was lying down. You will feel, you know, you become emotional. He's just lying down, just skin and bone. And at that point, Srila Prabhupada is preaching. Devotees are putting that dictaphone close to his mouth. And Srila Prabhupada is taking all his energy to speak a few words. This is Srila Prabhupada. And at that point, Srila Prabhupada said, now I want all my disciples around me. When I'm giving this Bhaktivedanta purport, I want all my disciples around me. He said, never leave me alone. I want all of your company. We had to see that, in fact, Srila Prabhupada doesn't need anyone's company. He is completely fixed in Krishna. But Srila Prabhupada is giving his association. This is the final lesson. How to be completely fixed in Krishna, even to the last minute, to the last moment. So this is Srila Prabhupada was demonstrating his pastime. And we can see in that, in the last minute, even when he was dictating on the dictaphone, Prabhupada was telling, one should come to the mode of goodness by attending Mangalarati. He was stressing the morning program, even the last minute. You know, see, Prabhupada, you can watch that video, Prabhupada was telling. Attend Mangalarati, in that way, come to the mode of goodness. Because if you come to the mode of goodness, it is easy to transcend the mode of goodness to the spiritual platform. But without coming to the mode of goodness, it is impossible. We'll be simply lamenting, or we'll be just planning ahead. We'll be in passion or ignorance. In ignorance, one laments, and in passion, one becomes passionate, planning and just being overactive. Prabhupada wanted everyone to come to the goodness. He was telling, he was emphasizing even to the last moment. And it is very important point that Srila Prabhupada was never disgusted with his disciples. Unlike his Guru Maharaj, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was disgusted with his senior disciples because they misbehaved. But Srila Prabhupada said, I am completely pleased with my followers and disciples. So we had to see the intimate exchange and the intimate love between Srila Prabhupada and his followers, his disciples. Prabhupada never felt, even though Prabhupada had to deal with many things, many issues. As a society, even with the disciples, he had to go through many things. Still, Prabhupada said he was never disgusted or felt so bad about his disciples. Prabhupada saw them, or they are maturing. He was very happy with his disciples. Because Prabhupada saw them as his spiritual master's representatives. So even to the last minute, he was seeing in that mood. We know the Prabhupada said, he was warned, never fight and, you know, don't repeat what happened to the Gaudiya Math. Don't fight and split just like Gaudiya Math. Never do that. Prabhupada warned his followers. There is this final, you know, very touching pastime of Srila Prabhupada wanting to do Govardhan Parikram, right? When Lokanath Maharaj came with the bullock cart, his Padayatra team, he said, we have been to all different holy pilgrimage sites. Then Srila Prabhupada had this desire, I want to go in bullock cart in around Vrindavan. Then devotees became very anxious. I think initially, Lokanath Maharaj, he said he and Hamsadutta Prabhu, they were quite encouraging Srila Prabhupada. They said, it's the Govardhan Puja is coming, so we can do a circumambulation around Govardhan Hill. And Prabhupada was literally, you know, skin and bone. There is hardly, we cannot see, you know, any body. It was so, so weak. And, you know, Bhavananda Prabhu, Bhaktacharya Maharaj, Tamalakrishna Maharaj, Jayapataka Maharaj, they became very concerned. How is it possible Prabhupada could go in this parikram? He said, if you go, you know, you cannot live. We cannot continue living like this. Prabhupada said, if I do parikram around Govardhan and if I leave this world, it is glorious. This was the mood of Srila Prabhupada. Then there was a big turmoil because devotees really didn't want Srila Prabhupada to go on parikram. But at the same time, Prabhupada had decided, okay, I want to go on parikram around Govardhan. He liked the idea of doing a final Govardhan parikram because Govardhan Puja is next day. That night, Akinchan Krishnas Babaji came. And Prabhupada was having a chat with Akinchan Krishnas Babaji. That time, Tamakrishna Maharaj and Bhavananda Prabhu approached Srila Prabhupada. So seeing them, Prabhupada asked, so you don't want me to go on parikram, isn't it? Just seeing them. So they begged to Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, please don't go on parikram. With this bodily condition, please don't go. Please don't leave us. So hearing this, Prabhupada immediately said, I will not go on parikram. So all the devotees became very happy to hear that Prabhupada won't go on parikram because they wanted the association of Srila Prabhupada. Then Srila Prabhupada looked at Akinchan Krishna's Babaji and he said, just see how much affection my disciples have for me. It's a very important point. Prabhupada was very much pleased with his disciples. He said, just see how much affection these disciples have for me. So this is in one sense, it's a perfection of the disciple. It's a perfection of being a disciple. That spiritual master is acknowledging the affection. So this is not the question of just following the order. That is one level, okay. You know, we can classify disciples in different levels. One who follows the, one who doesn't follow any order. If one disciple, if instructed, then follows the order. Then there is a disciple who understands the desire of the spiritual master and then follow the order. And this is going even beyond that, that the spiritual master is acknowledging the affection of his disciple. How much affection they have for me. So this is to the credit of the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. In fact, we can see how this preaching mission is propagating. From this, we can clearly see the affection of the disciples of Srila Prabhupada for Srila Prabhupada and his followers for Srila Prabhupada. Right? Otherwise, it's impossible. And of course, Srila Prabhupada gave very important lessons. Two of them are very important. One, this is in his final, you know, final days. One thing is, he told his sannyasi disciples, the leading disciples, that don't think this is not going to happen to you. All his disciples, they were very much worried seeing the condition of Srila Prabhupada. What did Srila Prabhupada say? Don't think this is not going to happen to you. Can you understand? This is going to happen to you also. So if you are looking at my body and feeling, you know, how bad it is or how the situation is, how pitiful, but the reality is that we all have to go through the same condition. We all have to go through the same condition and we have to be prepared to take our final test. Second very important instruction that Srila Prabhupada gave was, your love for me will be shown by how much you cooperate to keep this institution together after I am gone. So this is very, very important instruction. Your love for me will be shown by how much you cooperate to keep this institution together after I am gone. Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada could foresee the future. He has seen the past, what happened to Gaudiya Math. How everything was practically disintegrated and the preaching mission became unsuccessful. And the court cases ran for decades for the property. For decades. So Srila Prabhupada never wanted that to happen to his own mission. So that's why he said cooperate and push on the preaching movement. At the same time, Srila Prabhupada showed utter humility. We can read this pastime when all the different, it's not one time, more than one time, when to his disciples and also when his god brothers appeared in front of him. Puri Maharaj, Nishkinchan Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj, Ashram Maharaj, many other around 20 of his god brothers, they appeared in front of Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada started asking forgiveness. He said, I have offended devotees. I have many times used the words like rascal. I said, I have club. I have Bhagavatam in one hand and I have a club in other hand. This is the way I used to preach. I never compromised. But my desire was only to preach. I didn't have any ulterior motives. So please forgive if I have done any offenses. Then all his god brothers, they were taken aback. They said, no, you are the eternal leader. You please guide us, you rule us. So they were feeling very much surrendered in front of Srila Prabhupada. And then Srila Prabhupada said, I am Mahapatita. Mahapatita means the most fallen. He said, I am Mahapatita, I am the most fallen. Then all his god brothers, they became very emotional. They said, no, you are Mahapatita Pavana. You are the savior of the most fallen. You are not the most fallen. You are the savior of the most fallen. Because no one has done such a great feat to please Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prediction never came true without the hard work of Srila Prabhupada. So everyone was completely indebted to Srila Prabhupada. And he showed this utter humility. And finally we can see the loving conflict between Srila Prabhupada and his disciples. Srila Prabhupada told more than one time that I have nothing to do with the body. I don't want to eat. I don't want to sleep. I don't want to drink. It is the time for me to leave the world. At the same time, disciples were completely disheartened to hear that. So they were pursuing Srila Prabhupada at certain occasions that you should, you are a pure devotee. If you wish, you can stay back. So that was going on for some time. Then finally, even the disciples understood. So Tamalakrishna Maharaj said, everything is in the hands of Krishna. Everything is in the hands of Krishna. At that point, Srila Prabhupada had closed his eyes. Prabhupada opened his eyes and he told, no, Krishna has given me freedom. Krishna has given me free will. I can do what I want to do. So at one point, Srila Prabhupada said, it is just like the Swachanda Mrityu of Bhishma Dev. I can do what I want to do. Whenever I want to leave, I can. So Prabhupada told in a similar mood. And he said, okay, I can drink something. So he had something to drink. And one time, Bhavananda Prabhu, he was requesting and pursuing Srila Prabhupada that the full onslaught of Kali Yuga is not taking place because of your presence. So you need to give your ongoing association to us and to the whole planet. Srila Prabhupada, immediately he said, his mind was so clear. He said, no, only Krishna Balaram. Prabhupada said, he was not speaking anything, he was just lying, closed his eyes. He just, at that moment, he opened his eyes and he told, only Krishna Balaram. So fixed in Krishna. And he, at the same time, even though he had the free will, when to leave, Srila Prabhupada was completely in tune to the desire of Krishna, in tune to the will of Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada appeared in this world to fulfill the mission of Krishna, and he had already achieved that. Then he was just waiting for the moment when Krishna indicates. So if Krishna says it is the time to go, then Srila Prabhupada was ready to surrender. So even if we see the final pastime, we can see how Srila Prabhupada is completely surrendered to the will of Krishna. So that's why at the end, Srila Prabhupada, he surrendered to the will of Krishna and he departed from this world on November 14th, 1977, 7:30 p.m. in Sridham, Vrindavan. So this is his leela. It is his sweet pastime. He went to the spiritual abode. And if we try to see the speciality of departure of Srila Prabhupada, one, in case of Bhishma Dev, Bhishma Dev was waiting for the personal arrival, personal audience of Sri Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada, he had the association of Krishna in the form of holy name, which is known different from Krishna. He was surrounded by devotees chanting Krishna's holy name, continuous kirtan. At that point, Srila Prabhupada departed from this world. Second, because that is our philosophy. Antakale chamameva smaran muktva kalevaram. That is Bhagavad Gita. Whatever one thinks, whatever is one's consciousness, at the time of death, that is one's destination. So Srila Prabhupada exemplified that by departing from this world in the association of devotees amidst roaring kirtan. Second, it is very significant that Srila Prabhupada departed from Vrindavan. Because Prabhupada himself told that when a devotee passed away, he said, if he or she has departed from Vrindavan, then it means a sure entrance to the spiritual abode. A sure entrance. Now, think about the position of Srila Prabhupada. Generally, devotees retire in Vrindavan and they take the promise that they will never leave Vrindavan as an insurance. Prabhupada left Vrindavan to preach the glories of Krishna. And finally, by the arrangement of Krishna, he wanted to return to his home. So he did return to Vrindavan and he did pass away from Vrindavan. Think about that. How much Krishna would be pleased by such an endeavor, as it is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita 18th chapter. So this is Srila Prabhupada. So living in Vrindavan for Srila Prabhupada means he's gone to the hands of Krishna. What else? There is no other question. He is always with Krishna. Wherever he goes is Vrindavan, right? Wherever a pure devotee goes, that is Tirtha, that is Vrindavan, Tirthi Kurvandi Tirthani. So for Srila Prabhupada to go to the spiritual abode, he can leave from anywhere in this world. Because wherever he goes, he made Vrindavan. Here, this is a Vrindavan. Prabhupada said, this is not Vaikuntha, this is Vrindavan. So what to speak about his, for himself going to Vrindavan, he's always with Krishna. It's not something amazing to say that Srila Prabhupada has gone to the abode of Krishna's. It's not amazing at all. Why? Because he's always with Krishna. Even though he's present in the material world, even though he's enacting his pastime of being present in the earthly realm, but he's always with Krishna. So now, just to assure, he left, to set the example, he left from Vrindavan, from Krishna's home. So Srila Prabhupada dedicated whole life in spreading the holy name, and he instructed all his disciples by leaving the world. So the final instruction of Srila Prabhupada is his departure from this world. That is the final instruction. So today is the most auspicious Tirubhav Mahotsav of Srila Prabhupada, and we need to meditate on Srila Prabhupada's glorious departure, his deeds, so that we become inspired and we become an instrument in the hands of Srila Prabhupada. So today we will have a program starting soon at 10:30 here in the temple room. Offerings, glorification, then arati for Srila Prabhupada and a feast at 1 o'clock. Similarly, we have a special reading program starting at 6 o'clock in Srila Prabhupada's house, where we'll read from Leelamrita. And at the time when Srila Prabhupada departed from this world, we will have arati as well for Srila Prabhupada. So we welcome all the devotees to participate on this glorious day. And let's have this prayerful mind, thinking of Srila Prabhupada and praying to be an instrument in the hands of Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. If there is any quick questions or comments, please do so. Yes.
One comment. As you said, Srila Prabhupada was carrying Krishna in his heart whenever he went. Because I remember the incidents when the professor from Melbourne University, when he came, so he said, we are so happy to hear your lecture because you are carrying Krishna. We can see the way you are talking. Similarly, the 2005 was in Bhakti Man Menor in England, and Giriraj Maharaj was there. He was telling so many intimate pastimes about him, especially how Giriraj Maharaj was persuaded by his parents to leave this con, to leave Prabhupada's company. And his mother was especially very much interested that Giriraj Maharaj should go back to USA, then stay in India. Then Girimara said, so ultimately both parents came because they were fabulously rich, very rich people, lawyers in USA, billionaires. So the mother said to us, Srila Prabhupada, that everything is alright, Prabhupada, but I am worried how my son is going to get proteins. Because in your food, they are highly important. Srila Prabhupada said, well, get Sandesh and give it to her. So that's how he died. And both his parents went back very solidly, without any regret, without any repentance. Yes, my son is in the best hands. So you can see how much confidence Prabhupada had developed, not only with his associates, with his disciples, with the parents of him. That's a very important thing. The relationship was tremendous. All over the world, he was. That's how he.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Prabhupada Tirubhav Mahotsav ki, Jai Gaur Premanande.